Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma City.
Amen. Amen. Well, looking forward to an interesting broadcast. I'll be trying to make the CD turn off. And we'll be standing by and letting you know when you have your callers.
All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And we welcome everybody again to another Wednesday night of Hope is Alive, a show about testimony, a show about those who have been set free through the process called deliverance. And what were they set free? That which was hindering them, that which was oppressing them, evil spirits, sicknesses, and the various others, depressions and all kinds of problems. We've had testimonies of people being delivered from drug abuse, cancer, healing. Too numerous to name. But we do thank you for being able to take your time out tonight and be with us. And if you have any questions about deliverance, feel free to go to deliveranceusa.com. Now, that website has a wealth of information upon it. It has testimony. It has training. It has prayers. It has complete access, everything you need for deliverance. Or if you'd like to have a book, might do it that way, the old-fashioned reading. You can get the book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus that Pastor Cox has written. It's a very, very well laid out, step-by-step process through deliverance, and you can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you'd like to have that book, and he'll certainly get it out to you. And, Pastor, we have just a beautiful, beautiful day here in the Ozarks, and I just thank the Lord for this is the day the Lord has made.
Amen. It was a beautiful day here in Oklahoma as well. I couldn't even help but think a little bit about fishing.
I know. I spent all day making some gates for a fence, and I'm a little sunburned on the face. But that's
it
all
happened.
Right. I was out there getting my vitamin D, which is boosting the immune system, working, getting exercise. So I'm okay with it. The face a little tight. I put some aloe vera on it, but I'm ready to go. And Pastor, I know you didn't have ministry this weekend or this week because of the orders of gathering and everything. Did you have anything as far as any deliverances as far as video chats?
Well, yes, we're continuing to do ministry by phone and Skype and Zoom and now DUO, which is a Google video, and of course FaceTime, which is so easy to do if the other person has a iPhone. You just push a button. It's amazing tech world still to me that we can do this. I'm amazed that we can talk everywhere like we can. And now we can even do videos, of course. But, yeah, we're doing deliverances, and we've constantly got requests coming in, and we're sending a certain number of those out to the teams to do telephone or video ministry, and then I'm doing some as well. I have one Friday with a man in Tennessee, and they did one in Wisconsin last week. It was went very well, and so I'm still on my high.
Well, good. Still trying to get the get deliverances going, even though we can't get together because of the orders of not to meet in groups. Pastor, why don't you give out the office phone number there so if anybody is seeking for deliverance, they can call, and we can definitely get a team member out to them.
Yes, and they also can register online, as Ralph gave it earlier, deliveranceusa.com, and you'll see on there where to register if you scroll down on the home page and put the request in for telephone. Of course, it's all telephone now. And it looks like our governor, in fact, today just said now it's here in Oklahoma, no essential travel or get-togethers with groups of greater than 10. So we're now looking at the end of April. But, yes, the phone number in Oklahoma City is 405-842-5509, area code 405-842-5509, and if no one answers, go ahead and put your request on the answering machine, and it will be coordinated out to one of our team leaders for telephone or video, one of the video methods, which works amazingly well. The one I did in Wisconsin was just by phone. However, after the deliverance and I was following up, we discovered we could have used Google DUO Duo. It's a new one. I wasn't familiar with it. My daughter told me about it. And sure enough, we played around with it and got her hooked up, and I could see the guy I'd talked to before and spent 3.5 hours with, and now I had a video, and he could see me as well, so it's amazing, but it does work just fine. I've done videos, ministries in other countries even, and it's just an amazing technical world we have today.
It is, and it's actually, to be able to do that at a distance is biblical, just as when the centurion came to Jesus, and Jesus said, well, I'm on my way, and he said, no, there's no sense for you doing that, because I too am a man under authority, and I know that if I tell someone to do this, he goes, and if I tell him to come here, he comes here, so just say the word. And Jesus healed him when he wasn't there from a distance, and I would even say that if this technology was available then, that that they would have been using that as well. Certainly makes it a lot easier. We don't have to get out on the circuit riding. We don't have to get a foot and walk all over Asia Minor and Europe like Paul did. We don't have to get on those old ponies. I've read stories and a couple books to carry on the ministry. I can't remember if it's in the Light of the Glory or the second one, Seed of Shining Sea, but the story of a preacher who would, I mean, in several months' time, the amount of miles he would travel to get out and get to the word to everybody, it's just, it amazes me.
Yes. Circuits, preachers.
Yes, the circuit preacher.
Circuit preacher.
And I know for many years in the Ozarks, that was the only type of preaching they got here, other than somebody would come out of their home and give a message. But, I was thinking, especially in this time right now, because there's so much, the pastor and I talked about this earlier, or actually yesterday, about the fear that has gripped people today. And that's a spirit.
Yep.
Now, if you read 2 Timothy 1:7, now this is from the Amplified Bible. I read primarily from the New American Standard, but I like going to Amplified because it kind of expands things. We've talked about that often in the ministry. If you need access to it, you can either get one, or there's numerous apps you can use, or even websites. I happen to use Bible Gateway, which allows you to give access to multiple translations, and you can put them side by side. But here it is in the 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. So when this spirit of fear grips you, we can turn to the Word and declare 2 Timothy 1:7 and say, no, this is not from the Lord. This is from the enemy. This is from a demon. This is from it's not from the Lord, because the Word says, did not give us a spirit of fear. So we can stand upon that. We can rebuke that spirit of fear. We can cancel its curses. We can take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Jesus and stand upon the Word. It says, I will not live in fear. And there's numerous studies about how fear and anxiety can lower your immune system. So it's always best to stand upon the Word, stand upon the truth of God's Word, and these I Ams. Here we are. We always like to talk about our I Ams. But the I Ams are so important right now, because
yes.
not only does it exercise your spirit muscles and spirit, that frequency that's there declaring and performing the Word of God and what you are in Jesus Christ will actually boost your immune system as well. And we can command our immune systems to boost. We can command them to boost. We can command them to stand upon those promises of Psalms 91, that the plague should not enter our tent. Now, I put some thought to that over the last week, Pastor, and in the Old Testament, I could be wrong on this, but I think this is the Holy Spirit, or the thought given to me. In the Old Testament, God dwelt in tents and handmade houses. And today, the Holy Spirit dwells in Christians. So yes. I look at the plague shall not enter our tent literally means the plague shall not enter my body today. And I declare that out loud, and I declare it for myself and my family. And then I get to thinking about how great the Word is, that we're covered in all areas. So let's say for some reason that this coronavirus, even a flu or anything, comes upon you. This verse is still true, 2 Peter, verse 24. I'll start there, and he says, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live in righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. So we can say that, by his stripes, I am healed. And I remember many, many times before Pastor Peters passed away, and as the ministry Scriptures for America was starting to learn and understand the calling upon the saints, anointing with oil, the elders, and praying, after he prayed over you, he would make you make that declaration. He'd say, now say it.
That's it.
And
well,
when you say it,
it performs itself.
It does perform itself. So it's very important to say those words, to say the I Ams, to stand upon the truth that's in God's Word, and that just that whole frequency sets up. And actually, as you say it, and you say it, and you witness to others, you will see that spell break off of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Spell? Yes. Last week I went out to work, and I wasn't sure if I should go or not because of everything shutting down. I was thinking, well, my customers probably won't be spending the money because I work with salons. And I did pretty good Tuesday, actually. For that route, it was my best day ever for that route. So I was like, well, I guess I'm to be out. Well, Wednesday wasn't so well, and I was a little, I see that Nancy's ready. We'll just wait. I'll finish this up after Nancy. Nancy, thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure.
Yes, Nancy, thank you for calling in. I'm excited you're with us this evening. And why don't you go ahead, Nancy, and just give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and the changes you've seen and then any other experiences. So go right ahead.
Okay, well, you know, my salvation experience was such a just the kindness of God, quite honestly. Of course, it always is. But I was raised in a Methodist church, so there was a lot of... I never even heard about the cross of Jesus. I don't remember being taught about the blood of Jesus, nothing like that. And then when I was 19, I started reading The Late Great Planet Earth by... I can't remember the guy's name now. Anyway, it was scary. It was about the end of time, you know, and it was about the time the oil prices went up and everything, and it was like, you know, it's all getting ready to happen, and that scared me. So, and I realized that my life was certainly not one that I was ready to face God in any way. I was in the, this was in the 70s, end of the 70s, so I had done a lot of pot smoking. I had messed around with transcendental meditation. I had a lot of open doors, and my prayer was basically, I just said, God, I don't even know if you're real, but I've made a mess of my life, and I could use some help here. And didn't feel any different at all. But the next morning, I got around some of my friends at university, and they're cussing and everything. It bothered me. It just sounded harsh in my ear, and I was able to hold my own with them. And all of a sudden, this just sounded weird. And then I went home after classes, and I had a Bible, and I had started reading a paraphrased version of the Bible, and I could understand it. And I thought, something has happened here. But it wasn't for a few more weeks after that, when I finally got around to reading about the crucifixion of Christ, I thought, that's where Jesus comes into all of this. So I didn't even have, I didn't even understand that Jesus had died for my sins. All I did was open that door and say, God, if you're real, I need you. I need some help here. And he's so kind, and he's so gracious. He just waits for that invitation. And he came in. And so anyway, that was my salvation story. I've always thought that was kind of non-traditional, but it just shows the kindness of God.
Well.
And, yeah.
Yeah, he said, if you knock, and you knock.
I'm sorry?
he said, if you'll knock, he'll come in, and that's exactly what you did. You knocked
exactly.
on the door.
Exactly. I mean, just cracked that door. That's all he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And but as far as deliverance and all, I spent most of my life, I've been a Christian now 40-some-odd years, and... I really didn't know that much about Holy Spirit until, I mean, just in the last few years. And it was, I was living overseas, as a matter of fact, and I just realized I had a lot of mess in my life. One of them was I just never seemed to be happy. I had a critical spirit, kind of complaining, murmuring. Nothing was ever quite right, and I was living a really nice lifestyle in Singapore and a, you know, very nice condo on the ocean. I mean, I had no reason, and I just didn't like that about myself. I thought, this is not right. Why am I this way? And I had some other compulsions that I just couldn't seem to help myself. And I met this woman in a Bible study, and she was at deliverance ministry, and we talked about this because this is a little, I didn't go under the deliverance ministry in Oklahoma City, though I did come and get some help there. I'll get to that in a bit. But she just kind of helped me through it, and it has all the components. I realized, I'd had a lot of open doors. As I said, I had done drugs. I had been in transcendental meditation, messed around with the Ouija board. I had all that sort of stuff. I have Native American in me. You wouldn't know it to look at me. But I do have that in me, and just, you know, the heritage coming down the line, and I just, anyway, we went through the different steps, and the difference it made was amazing. I just could not believe it when we worked through it all and got all those, you know, forgave and renounced and cut off the ancestry and went through all the different steps that we needed to and closed those doors. And a lot of it was forgiving. There was a lot of forgiveness that had to happen. And that's really key. And then I was just amazed at how much more at peace I was, how much lighter I felt. I had a problem with masturbation, and that has never come back. Never, ever, ever have I had any issue with that at all. And that has plagued me all my life from really early puberty. And I know that got handed down through my family line. I realize that now, and it was a very shaming thing. That's totally gone, but and I just felt so much more open and happy. And, I mean, my life didn't get perfect or anything like that, but it really, really made a change in me. And I have gone through some training to try to help other people since then, and with what I'm doing now. Shortly right after I went through that deliverance training, the bottom fell out of my life, and I found out that my husband was unfaithful. And I tried to get him to go to deliverance ministry because I could tell, you know, having been through it, that he had some demons of his own that he needed to deal with, and he chose not to go there. And so I ended up having a month to move back here. And when I got back here to Oklahoma City, I met some people, and one of them was involved with it. There are somebody who works and ministers through your ministry, and she had invited me to come down. And I did come, and I had some more work I needed to do, some things that had built up. I'd been in the States about 8 months at that point. And I had more forgiveness, obviously, to work through things that just built up so suddenly. And so I think every so often, sometimes you can have things come back up that need to be dealt with. You know, the enemy is always looking for a way in. That is for sure. He doesn't rest. So anyway, it was...
Yes, for sure.
I just feel, I can't believe I went so many years of my life without even being aware. I mean, I knew the devil existed. I knew there were demons, but I thought they were these people, you know, they only bothered people that invited them in, like Satanists. They were, you know, I saw The Exorcist at a drive-in theater, and that was one of the biggest mistakes I ever made. And that's what I thought he was. If you leave him alone, he'll leave you alone. And so
right.
I think that people are becoming aware that that's not so, and I think, too, that what we're going through right now with the spirit of fear getting so much territory taking on people, I think there's going to be a bigger need for deliverance ministry. I think there's going to be an upsurge. I really do. So we need to be ready.
It wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me a bit that we'll see an upswing, and that at least we have our little army together here in Oklahoma City ready to minister
right.
to people, even by video and on the telephone, etc. You know, the need is much out there. We were just talking about fear earlier before you came on, Ralph and I, and quoting a scripture, you know, in Timothy, that God does not give us a spirit of fear,
right.
but a power and love and a sound mind. So we know where fear is coming from. And you know, one thing that we do in inner healing is often we give the feeling over to Jesus. And there's
mm-hmm.
something supernatural about that. And when we, like fear and other bad feelings, and some people even feel it balled up in their stomach, just like fear. Some of the listeners right now may feel that fear right in the middle of their stomach area. That
yes.
can be other places in the body, but that's the norm, kind of in the midsection. And what will that, if the person feels them and feels that fear and other bad feelings balled up, just to take a, believe they have a spiritual hand, spiritual fingers, and they can go on the inside of them there and get hold of that fear and whatever else is there and feelings, and just simply pull them out and hand them up to Jesus. And something supernatural happens. Jesus
mm-hmm.
takes them. Praise God.
Well, it is kind of a rooting thing. It's a root of fear. You can have a root of fear, and it can go down deep. And the longer you leave it, it's like a dandelion. I was doing some weeding today, and those roots are deep sometimes. I mean, you got to really get down there and get it all out. And the beautiful thing about Jesus, too, is so many divine exchanges happen at the cross. It's more than just our salvation. It's so much more. And I think
Amen.
That when we give him that fear, that he wants to give us his peace. You know,
I've often commented that many churches cut themselves way short. They praise God they're doing salvation, but the gospel is actually a better deal, and they realize that there's so much more.
Well, there is, and I feel like
healing.
In a sense, that's a, when we don't recognize it and we don't avail ourselves of all that Jesus died to give us, then it's kind of a slap in the face in a sense. I mean, that is, he went through all of that for us, and it's, I mean, if salvation would be enough, that'd be way enough. But there's so much more. There's so much more. And the freedom that he wants us to walk in. And I feel like, too, that the times we're living, not only the spirit of fear, but there is the army of God is rising up. We're getting toward a big harvest, I believe, of souls. And I also believe the enemy is going to, he's stepping up his activity, too. And he's going to try to cripple up as many people, believers, and just keep them kind of hamstrung and hobbled to keep them from running into what they're supposed to be doing and doing, you know, fulfilling the destiny for such a time as this that they're supposed to be fulfilling. So I think there's going to be a lot of work to be done when we can start meeting again.
Yes. Well, I think so, Nancy. And, you know, that so many people, since they're having to stay at home, so many now and can't go to their offices, et cetera, go to work. So they're sitting there, they're doing what they can on the phone and all in their businesses, but then they've got more time than ever. They're not traveling anywhere. And
right.
It's a great opportunity for the Holy Spirit to go to work on them and to draw them. And I think we probably will, like you say, we will have more salvations coming forth. And people reaching out even for deliverance.
Yes, I'm just hoping that they turn off the television and quit feeding the fear. I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges. I mean, it just kind of draws you in because you kind of. I mean, when it first was happening, I was thinking, well, I wonder if it's gotten to Oklahoma yet. I wonder where it is. I wonder this, and then I thought, stop it, stop it. You know,
yeah.
I prayed against it. I believe this is of the enemy. I don't think God has anything to, you know, do with this happening. I mean, he's going to use it. But why do I want to feed that? Why do I want to feed that fear? And so that's another thing. I think, you know,
yes.
People need that aren't even aware of what they're doing. But there are. There's a lot more of a move of openness. People are looking for comfort. They're looking for encouragement. There's a lot of people. Somebody out of the blue sent me a Christian song. And this came from somebody. I haven't responded yet by Messenger. I saw it earlier right before I got on. I thought, what? I didn't think this person had any interest in God whatsoever. So there's an openness there. There's, you know, times of uncertainty draw people to God. And I think there are a lot of things going around on Facebook and suggestions to people for sermons, or I've posted quite a few scripture on Facebook with pictures, you know, and people that I wouldn't expect are responding. So there's definitely a hunger and a searching.
Yes, I can't watch the TV on the subject, but just a little bit, and then
mm-hmm.
I just can't stand to hear it over and over and over and over and over.
No. No,
I mean,
there's no need in it. Why? You know, and I remember I don't watch network news. I watch CBN just to catch up on the headlines. And if I want to look up something, I can and read just a little bit. So I'm a little bit abreast of what's going on. But I heard somebody made a great quote one time about watching network news. They said, why would I want to watch the glorification of the works of what the devil's done today? Because that's what a lot of it is.
Yeah.
Why do I want to watch the glorification of the devil? You know, I thought, good point, because that's what they show.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, praise God, we'll believe that the Holy Spirit is at work, and that people will be reaching out. They know they've got to say to themselves at some point, is this all there is? That's what you kind of did over there in the Singapore area. And is that all there is? Is this it?
Right.
Well, look at the peace and joy and happiness that you have now, Nancy.
Yes. And just a much closer walk with God. I have not arrived, and I've still got things I'm working on and everything. But just my priorities have changed. They really have shifted a lot. And, you know, I don't know. I've heard enough people saying, I don't think we're going to go back to the way things were. I think that the church is going to come out of this a lot stronger. I think this is a purging. I think this is a shaking. I think this is a time for us to decide what really matters and get our own house in order. I mean, the revival starts with the church. And that's another thing why I think that we need to encourage people that we know around us that they're believers, but they've got besetting sins. They've got things holding them back, and there's some deliverance there that, I mean, it'd be so much lighter. It's like trying to run with weights on your ankles. You can do a lot better. You get those ankle weights off. And so I think we're going to be doing more of that, too. Encouraging.
Think what your life would be like. Think what your life would be like right now with all this going on with the fire stuff, Nancy. Had you not received what you have, and where would you be in all this if you hadn't received what you have?
I would not be pretty. Yeah. It would not be pretty. I mean, I'd know I'm saved and everything. I would be praying for the rapture. But at the end, you know, I'm always excited. I'm up for that any time anyway. But I just... I have told somebody the other day that I almost feel like a kid, that expectation with Christmas, you know, that something's getting ready to happen. Something's going to happen. This is really cool. God, what are you going to do with this? You know, it's not a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of anticipation. And I'm not trying to minimize the suffering. I'm not trying to minimize, you know, what people are going through, because there's, you know, this is not pretty by any means, but... It's like God is going to take this and use it for good. He's going to do something amazing with this. Yeah, and if I had all that demonic oppression, all those voices and just dragging me down and just that being dissatisfied, I mean, I kind of have to laugh when I go into Walmart and can't find things. But if I were the person that I was before, I'd have been complaining, I'd have been chewing on people, and it would not have been pretty. And so I'm thankful for the freedom.
Well, amen.
You know, Nancy, Pastor, if you just say, you know, Nancy, if you say that, you want to laugh. I literally have walked through the aisles of Walmart and laughed. And it just, like, because you see it and you understand it. It's funny, but it's not.
It's weird. There's a good piece.
A nice piece of being secure and being in the Holy Spirit. But the other day I was going through, and as far as I was on the road, I just needed one thing. So I was like, well, I'm just going to look around. And I was just laughing at what people thought was important.
Microwave popcorn.
Yeah.
I got the last box. I got it.
Yeah, what's important. And it did give me a chuckle to see that. But it is sad because so many people are in fear right now. And, you know, thank God we've had deliverance. Thank God we've gone through this, and we understand how to combat that.
Right.
A friend of mine told me he had seen, it may have been in Walmart, but there was two women fighting over the last package of toilet paper.
Wow.
Who would have thought it would come to that?
Well, and you know, again, that spirit of fear, and I think another one that's going to show up a lot is that orphan spirit. An orphan spirit is where, you know, that I have to take care of myself. I have to provide. It's up to me. No one's going to help me. You know, we don't realize that God, Father is our provider. Father will take care of his children. He always has. He says he will never forsake us, you know, or leave us. And so I think that's something else that is rising up a lot, this orphan spirit. It's just a feeling of I'm on my own, you know. And I think that's another thing that's going to cause people, especially if as we live lives of peace and we walk in that peace, we walk in that freedom, we walk in that love, you know. I've even thought, I've got a friend who makes T-shirts. I've almost thought about just having a shirt and say, may I pray with you, and just standing outside Walmart and just see what happens. It might be kind of interesting. They might run me off, but it's just, it's as the dark gets darker, the light gets lighter, I guess, and the contrast is going to be very strong. I don't think there's going to be any gray. There's black and white now. I think it's going to be more and more that way. And if we can have that joy and not let our joy get stolen, I think it's going to be kind of like a moth drawn to a fire. You know, people are going to see that, and they're going to ask.
Yes. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, certainly, I've had traumas in my life, and who hasn't? But mm-hmm. the nice thing of the Holy Spirit, the more you pray in tongues, the more
yes.
the comfort comes. That he is a comforter, and it's a more supernatural what we have in front of us.
And I need to get kind of back in that. I was doing a really good job of that. And you know, science has shown that you can speak in tongues and do other things. I would be walking along, listening to a podcast, getting my morning walk in, and speak, you know, praying in tongues. And you can do both, because the part of that, you know, I don't know if you've seen the MRI studies where they had somebody going to an MRI and they were speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, and the part of the brain that normally
yeah.
lights up was not active at all, because it's the Holy Spirit. It doesn't
yeah,
go through
neat?
The brain. It's the Holy Spirit. And that's something
yeah.
I need to start doing again, because it really does make a difference, because he intercedes for us, and even those people around us that we don't know how to pray for, and that we're walking among them all the time.
Yes.
Thank you for that reminder.
Yeah, that's so true. The more you pray in the Spirit, the more the comfort comes. In fact, I have that handout in my book also, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, about the
mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit brings. And I've never counted them, but there must be 25 at least of what he brings, like comfort and peace, and he leads us in truth, and just a whole list of things. And the more we pray in the tongues, the more those manifest in our lives. So there's another thing that people ought to be doing a lot of right now, is praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, and letting the Holy Spirit, therefore, work through you.
Yeah, and that took me a while to get where I was comfortable with the whole. In fact, when the first time I spoke in tongues, I'd been told, you know, you ought to do this, you should do this. This was back in the 80s when it was a church that was, I don't know, anyway, the way she approached it, I just kind of ran. And then I was at a service, so I was worshiped. I mean, the worship was heavy, and all of a sudden, these all started coming out of my mouth, you know, and I thought, well, what was that?
Yeah, praise God.
So it just kind of naturally flowed. And
yes, many people have had that happen. Where the Holy Spirit would just come on them and they start speaking in tongues. That's so cool. I love hearing those stories.
Yeah, Robert Moore's out of gate. I'm going to tell a story on him real quick. I love listening to his preaching. But he kept wanting to speak in tongues. It wasn't happening. And he was working with a mentor and everything. And one morning he got up and his wife was kind of giggling. And he said, what's so funny? She said, well, you were speaking in your sleep last night. And he says, yeah. And he says, and she said, you were speaking in tongues. He said, what? And he had such a he said that he had such a resistance to it. There was kind of a pride issue and a resistance to it. It was like, Holy Spirit had to get him asleep before he could speak in tongues. And after that, it just changed.
It.
But I love that story. God's creative.
Well, the Holy Spirit works in mysterious ways. And,
he does. He's funny.
I'm
just learning to listen and hear him more. He plays this game with me. Sometimes I'll just say, "So what's on your mind and all?" And there'll be a word that comes out. I'm thinking, "Is that even a word?" And I'll write it down and I'll look it up, and then we talk about it. And it's relevant and it's something important, you know. And he's got a sense of humor. He does have a sense of humor. He makes jokes with me sometimes, and I really want to hear him more. So I'm thinking too that praying in tongues that might help that too, to where I clearly hear him. So important. So important.
Well, as Paul said, you're praying the prayer needs to be prayed, and you're praying to God what needs to be prayed, and you're edifying yourself. Well, how many people
right.
use of edification right now? It's like charging
mm-hmm.
their battery. Well, there's lots of people. Probably every listener needs to be praying in the tongues more. For that very reason.
Right.
Yeah, Ralph, you might have some comments on this.
Well, it does. Certainly, sometimes when it says the Spirit's grown us, we don't know what to do. We can just go into it. And I know there's been times in my prayer life when I'm sitting there and I just can't seem to say what I want to say or get what's out. And then I'll just start praying in tongues. Speaking them to them just between me and the Lord, and thoughts will come, they'll flow, and I'm able to get things out to people. But it's definitely one of the spirits that we need. You know, it's one of those gifts that is given to the believers, and if you have that gift given to you, definitely exercise it. One of the things I was thinking about another time that can be done right now that people need and to be partaking of is also communion. There's something
yeah.
supernatural about communion as well. And, now here I'm looking in John, where it says, John 6:53, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. And he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And then you go on that a little bit further, it says, he who eats this bread will live forever. So that's another thing you can do to combat this fear is to say, I will live forever. And as you partake of communion and the communion with the Lord, you can stand upon those promises. And it's another spiritual weapon that's out there that can help us.
Right.
Yes.
The world. Yeah, I mean, I remember Pastor Peters would often say that it would seem crazy in the world. You're going to tell me if I eat this little piece of bread and drink this little cup of wine or grape juice that I'm going to be healed? But, yeah, you know, it says, I think they were talking about this on the prayer chain, or the prayer meeting, that when they partook of the Passover, which was a type of Christ to come, under, you know, that then they had to slaughter lamb, eat the flesh, apply the blood and all that. Today, under the new covenant, we apply the blood through baptism, and we eat the flesh symbolically through communion. But it said as they came out of Egypt, there was none ill among them. So I look at, okay, well, if there's none ill among them, then if I take it, that just even gives me more supernatural protection against any illness that might come.
Yes, as you take communion, technically, you're receiving all the blessings of the new covenant. Mm-hmm. I have a part in my book on taking communion, and I basically learned what I have in there from a Dr. Miller that was on Sid Roth's show. It's been 20 years ago now, and I was quite impressed. This man had studied taking communion for like 25 years, and as he learned that if you take the communion the way he said we should, that then you would receive all these blessings. And so that I put those points that he had in my book on healing by taking communion, and I forgot what page it was on, but That's right. It's another spiritual warfare, but it's also
right.
declaring all of the blessings of the new covenant. How awesome is that? So
I'm right.
taking
right.
communion more than I usually do for this very reason.
And I've heard that a lot of people, I've heard that that is something that a lot of people are talking about. I hear more about that, and I'm also, you know, the fear of the Lord. I've heard of quite a few people in the last half a year or so talking about the fear of the Lord coming back, the fear of the Lord, that there's an emphasis on that. And it's a reverent fear. It's a reverent fear. It's a
yes.
holy fear. That's another thing. But you're talking about the praying in tongues, you know, and I think that the praying in the Spirit is a weapon that we forget. We read about the armor of God. And so many people, they talk about the, you know, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, shield of faith, and they get all the way through, and they talk about taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But right after that, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. So that's a weapon, too, when you're talking about praying in the Spirit. That's a weapon.
Absolutely.
So
I use tongues more in deliverance than I used to, because I've actually had demons tell me, when they speak in tongues, it hurts them, and so
yeah, they can't really understand it, can they? They
no, I don't think no, I don't think they can.
It just kind of just sounds harsh on
the
fingernails on the chalkboard to a demon. I like that. Make them that sounds great to me.
Well, I,
Pastor, you talked about the testimony of the man who. Maybe this is the same thing that hurts, but you said the you were going through deliverance, I believe, and he said he quit praying in a tongue, and the head demon said we had like a vacation the whole time.
Yeah, there was a pastor from the northern part of the state a couple of years ago, and I had the head demon up, and it was manifesting its full manifestation, and it was
mm-hmm.
a very vocal demon, more so than most. And it volunteered this at one point. It was on a Monday night at our ministry session. And this demon volunteered this, speaking out of the pastor's mouth about the pastor. And it said, when he speaks in tongues, it hurts us. And then it added this. He quit speaking in tongues. He quit speaking in tongues about 2 weeks, and we had a vacation. Well, the lesson to me was I better be speaking in tongues more than I have been, because I sure want to hurt them a lot, you know.
Well, yeah, and I, you know, I've heard of people, you know, I have a friend of mine who had a long commute, and she would pray in tongues, and she would, there was a problem they were having at work, and nobody could come up with a solution. She prayed in tongues and everything, and she got to work, and the idea just all flowed in. It was like, Holy Spirit was praying for this thing, you know, and it all flowed, and the solution came, and she said, that wasn't me. She said, I couldn't have figured that out, and everybody was kind of like, you know, and she said, no, that wasn't me. So, but yeah, it's
I love it.
Time for warfare, that is for sure.
Natural.
We need every weapon we've got. But yeah, the taking communion, I need to do that more often. I've heard, you know, a lot of people do that. Derek Prince. Before he would get out of bed, I think he and his wife took communion every morning. So that's not a bad, that's a good,
well, sure.
good
stuff.
Thing to get into.
Yeah.
Definitely another weapon at our disposal. I mean, you can look through all the book of John, the sixth chapter, where he... Jesus talks about it, like verse 27, do not work for the food that perishes, or the food which endures to eternal life. And then verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. And it says in verse 48, I am the bread of life. It says in 51, I am the living bread. Anyone that came down from heaven, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of this world is my flesh. And it says, you know, in verse 58, he eats this bread will live forever. And you know, and a lot of people stumbled over that because they talked about a lot of people fell away. It was the, kind of the collapse of the Galilean ministry. But then Peter's confession to him says, "Lord, Jesus said to him, you guys going to go with them?" And Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
Where are we going? Yeah, who would we go to?
Yeah, where
exactly.
are we? Where?" And it just, you know, Pastor Peter's, Nancy, that's the pastor of the ministry that hosts this program. He passed away several years ago, but he talked about, one of the things he mentioned was, is if you read into it, when they roasted the Passover lamb, they roasted everything.
Right.
All the innards, the entrails, everything in there. And so when he was needing healing in some area, he would visualize that he was actually eating that part of the Passover lamb. So if he had a problem with his leg, mm-hmm. you know, he would eat the legs, or if there's a problem with the pastor had problems.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I heard a weird sound. Did we lose somebody?
I think Ralph maybe went off, but anyway, that's exactly right, and that's what Dr. Miller was advocating, that studied taking communion for 25 years, and he came up with the idea that if you would take it this certain way, with the understanding of what you're doing, that,
mm-hmm.
that healing would come, and all these blessings of the new covenant, and deliverance, all kinds of things can come the more you take communion. I have it in page 79 in my book. I have to pull it down here while
okay.
we were talking about it. But you might flip that up when you get a chance.
Yeah,
Nancy.
Definitely. We need every weapon we've got, that's for sure right now. Well, we always
I
do,
am.
But I just feel like I said earlier, I think that, of course, the time's getting shorter. Every minute puts us closer to the return of Jesus. But, there's a sense of, like I said, anticipation and change happening. And I like I said earlier, I don't think we're going to go back to life as we knew it. I really don't. I mean, I think it's going to be better in many regards because the church has got to step up. We're going to step up. There's going to be a lot more deliverance. There's going to be a lot more freedom for people. There's going to be a lot more battles.
It's definitely set people down to where they're having to focus.
Yes.
And yeah,
I'd like to encourage everybody out there that that when you see people in fear, give these scriptures to them. Talk to them about
yeah.
it. And ask them, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? And if they are, then you can start talking about the promise of Psalms 91. Talk about the promise of how the Lord is not a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. You know, even mention Romans 8:28. Well, if you're called by God, it doesn't matter what happens. He's going to work it out for good. Because people are scared
mm-hmm.
right now. They're scared of how they're going to pay their rent. They're scared of how they pay their electricity. Scared of how they're going to get food. They're scared of all these different things. And one of the things I've been witnessing to people is the Lord knows you need these things. He knows that the water bill's got to be paid, the electric's got to be paid, there's mortgages. He knows you need these things. Focus on Him, put forth the kingdom first, rebuke that spirit of fear, and trust in Jesus. He's actually right now, we're in a time that Jesus is going to show us what He can do for us. I mean, we have to be rejoicing in that
alone. We've got a good Father.
Yes.
You know, and it's something that I have found when I went through a lot of anxiety when I came back from Singapore. That was another one of the reasons I went for the deliverance ministry as well. Definitely spirits of anxiety. I found that being thankful, finding something that you have to be thankful in this moment. Like,
yeah.
I love the color, that shirt over there, I love that shade of orange, or I love the smell of that tangerine, or I just something, thank you, God, for the color of the sky, and just finding those little nuggets
yes.
of thankfulness brings your mind back to the goodness of God and the way He's providing you for you, and that He sees you, He hasn't left you, His eye is upon you. Just being thankful, we have so much to be thankful for to Him, and that would really just turn things around dramatically for me. And I, I don't think the enemy likes that much.
That's awesome, Nancy. Nancy, we're out of time. Thank you so much for calling in tonight. It was great participation. And I'd like to also just wind up quickly again. We say it over and over, Luke 10:19, that we have power over all the enemy. Well, obviously, the virus is the enemy. And then Jesus said this, and nothing shall by any means harm you or hurt you.
Amen.
So the more you quote that out loud, the more you receive it. Ralph?
Exactly. Well, thank you for letting me participate. I really enjoyed it.
God bless you, Nancy.
Same to you. Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Well, good testimony, good conversation, good witnessing. And one thing that I wanted to mention, I'm not getting a lot of time, but it started to before Nancy came on, was as I was seen as I was out, the Lord put me out, and He told me to preach. He told me to preach, and I started seeing these people, and they were talking, I could see what kind of fear they're in. So I used that opportunity to break that spell upon them, and you could see the heaviness that was upon them, that fear being released from them. So we're to be ambassadors. We're to get out, and we're to be different. We're not of the world. We're called out of the world. So as you're out there, use this opportunity. Use this if you can, and you see people in fear, encourage them. Encourage them to know what they are in Jesus and how they're able to rebuke the spirit of fear and use the word and combat it. But we do thank everybody for joining us this evening. Again, it's deliveranceusa.com. If you need deliverance right now, get a hold of them at there, info@deliveranceusa.com, and we'll get somebody out to you. Or if you need the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus at 307-742-7582. We won't be live next week because of the Passover service, but we look forward to seeing everybody in a couple weeks after that. And God bless. Thank you for taking time to join us this evening, and be blessed.
God bless everyone.
Chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.